Hey, good morning. Welcome to the roundtable panel. It is it's a Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. It's Thursday, the 13th of November, and it's very nice to have you with us. Let me introduce our panel to you, and then we'll get to the business at hand, which is talking about the news of the day. Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Very nice to be with you here today, Joe.
Very nice to be with you, as always. Also, let me just say, also with us is the publisher emeritus of the Daily Freeman, Ira Fussfeld, who has just come from a session of recording the media project with Alan. So those two have already, you know, they've done their workout, their
warm-up.
Their warm-up. Thank you. That was what I was...
Yeah, it was all right today. What do you think, Alan? He snapped at me once, and he inserted his name in a place where I had not inserted his name, so he presumed that I was talking about him. He's always on guard, as they used to say in fencing.
On guard.
Yes.
Parry thrust.
Anyway, very nice to be back.
Well, very nice to have you. And so meanwhile, while you two were doing that, Rosemary and I were hashing stuff out in the green room. So we're all good. I think
rehearsing,
we're ready to go. Yeah. Rehearsing on
time's
today's
up.
Topics. So Rosemary Armeo, of course, University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter. Here's the deal. If you want to contact us, it's simple, roundtable@wamc.org. If you would like to go to our webpage and have it post for the world to see and to be put in print, as it were. You can go to wamc.org/roundtable. You will see the segment that says panel 11, 13, 14. 11, 13, 14. And and then you could simply click on it, and you can comment, and we will we'll get your comments not only on the air, but people will be able to see them and comment on them as well.
So anybody written in yet about Price Chopper?
Oh, we talked at length.
It sounded like you broke the internet yesterday.
Yes, yeah. A lot of people had a lot of thoughts on it, which
as
is good.
As opposed to Kim Kardashian's butt.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I'm horrified.
Yes.
You didn't have that on the list of stories. Sorry, I slipped that in.
No, I should have. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm derelict in my duty.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well, if we have time, Rosemary.
You're going to recommend that the three men in the room have a discussion around you about that subject.
You're right. What am I asking for? Forget it.
Yeah. All right.
I do worry about the future of Western civilization.
Well, let's forget that topic. It's all behind us.
All right. Let's go to the topics for today. I think
they're heavy.
Yeah, they are heavy. Let's start with climate change. Let's start with that. Two articles that I sent out that for discussion. Two things that happened yesterday: the deal on carbon emissions by the president and during his visit, the president of this country and the president of China, that they will commit to targets for cuts in their nation's carbon emissions, which has fundamentally shifted the global politics of climate change. Meanwhile, back in Washington, Mitch McConnell is mad about that and has said that they feel the congressional leaders are denouncing the U.S.-China deal on climate change. And any hope for Congress, I'm reading the lead sentence in the Washington Post article, any hope for Congress to reconvene with the sense of bipartisanship was quickly erased Wednesday as Mitch McConnell and House Speaker John Boehner sharply criticized the announcement of a new climate deal between the U.S. and China. The president continues to send a signal that he has no intention of moving toward the middle.
Well, here's what I heard yesterday, and I see the quote in the New York Times this morning, where Boehner in particular was less critical. He was not as critical about the deal with China because of the climate change denying, which he and many of the other Republicans have been doing. But he said, and I'm quoting, "This announcement is yet another sign that the president intends to double down on his job-crushing policies, no matter how devastating the impact for America's heartland," et cetera. So the tact apparently is going to be, whether or not there's climate change, if we do these things, we're going to hurt people's pocketbooks because they're going to lose their jobs.
Sure, let's pollute with impunity.
Right, that's basically.
And when we need to justify it, We just simply
But I suspect that they feel that that's a better argument that they can make, because the trying to deny climate change is just such a folly at this point. So they're going to try to find another way to knock the potential harm that they think.
We've seen this again and again. I refer you once again to the great scholar Jor-El in Krypton as it flew up and sending a little, you know, baby Superman into space. People are putting their heads in the sand and say, can you imagine the nerve? The nerve to say, you know, this is a job crushers when we know we're killing ourselves. They're walking around in Beijing with masks on their faces. That's coming. That's going to come here. I think the Chinese, by the way, in this deal, although it's obit dictator, it doesn't really matter, got away with murder, and Cuomo wanted something. But
Obama.
Cuomo. Why did I do that? Oh, boy. Oh, this is very Freudian.
It may be Cuomo's problem down the road, but if he's ever elected president.
The agreement made me realize the enormity of the situation that Obama's in. It's a historic agreement. This is the first time that the two, by far, major polluters on Earth have reached an agreement. It is, by the assessment of scientists, far not enough. It's not going to do what needs to be done to prevent the Earth from perhaps tipping into unfixable warming. However, it is the first important step. It's likely to inspire other countries to do the same. Mm. And then he turns around and has to face opponents who come from coal-producing states, so they do have a self-interest in a different point of view, and also in climate deniers, like the new head of the Senate Environment Committee, who are saying, no, it's not fair. We're doing more than China.
They're saying more than that. They're denying. This guy is denying climate change.
Yeah, he is.
In the face of all of modern science.
And the other thing that impressed me about this is that the president of China is a scary guy. If you listen to the news conference they had at the end of the summit, he was very oppressive on the topic of freedom, press freedom in China, and warned the United States that they better not have anything to do with what's going on in Hong Kong, where there's pressure for more freedom from the main Chinese government. We do have problems with China, and Obama's been trying to say this for a long time, and we have been distracted, in fact, by some of the things we're going to talk about here later today, like Ukraine. But it's an enormous job. I can see why his hair is all gray.
When you look at the next step, because we were talking about this whole idea of summits yesterday, and you were saying that they're mostly symbolic, and then you move on.
Right.
Alan was making the point that there is something. It's a starting point. So where do we go from here? Because I mean, it seems like for those of us who are banging our heads against the wall, thinking when are we going to actually take meaningful action on climate change, when you still have divisions like this, you wonder, okay, because it's not just us, it's the whole world. So then where do we go from here?
I'll tell you one thing, Joe. When we sign the next Kyoto Treaty, as we didn't sign the last one, I'll believe it.
I don't know if it's another treaty signing. It's action. So it has to. This is a go-ahead for people at the next sub-layer to begin working to sign up the Brazils and Indias of the world who are not part of this.
And who are making the point, you polluted, and now you're telling us we can't.
Yeah.
We have to catch up first.
Which is true.
China says the same thing.
It's absolutely true. And that's why China, what the Republicans say is partly true. China does get a break compared to what the United States does, but their economy is a lot younger than ours. And as yet, we have no alternative. If you want to build up a rich income, if you want to make your poor people middle class, you burn fossil fuel.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue and talk about other topics as well. We welcome your comments. Roundtable@wamc.org. You can also go to our webpage. And the way it says, it's always date and then word panel. So it'll be 11, 13, 14 panel is what it'll say.
Okay.
All right. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from Haldora Rhinebeck. Women's clothing, fall collections, Wooltown coats, silk blouses, home textiles, Kinross sweaters, Hanro undergarments, new Weekender location in Millerton, haldora.com. Brookshire Stringed Instruments School of Lutheran, Windsor Mill, North Adams, Massachusetts. Working to guide students through hand-building guitars, mandolins, and ukuleles, BrookshireStringedInstruments.com for class registration. And Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery.
welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You can also comment on our webpage, WAMC.org/roundtable. And then you go to the website and you go and then you can post it. And then we can comment on it. And it's all good for the world at large. We have letters. Let's go to some of them.
Well, Ryan says there's no middle on this. There's only saving the planet and us with it. What good are jobs if we don't have food or to buy or with our money? This is why we need to shift gears to space exploration. Our future here is limited.
I don't know that comets are the place to go move to. Looking at the Rosetta expedition.
But how do you? I'm going to ask the political scientists. If let's use that John Boehner quote about the job, this being a job killer, and we will all agree at this table, I know, job killer or not, climate change is going to kill us potentially anyway. But the guy is trying to get reelected in his district. How does he sell climate change and a treaty that may hurt the coal industry or whatever his industry is and still remain in office? How does and of either party?
He goes into his home. He goes into yoga position, and he thinks he says, "Oh, great yoga! How can I justify what I am saying to my grandson and daughter?" And he looks in the mirror, and he knows that his time on Earth will be limited, as everybody's will. I'm not calling for it, but there are priorities. Are we doing what's right, or are we doing what's,
well, that's, you know, what's going to take, and there are precious few statesmen out there anymore who we need to make those kind of comments and come to those conclusions.
That's a great point.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so.
Isn't there something to be said about investing money in by the coal industry or into the coal industry to change it? It's they should be at the forefront technology.
Smart people should be saying, let's get ahead of this. We're already behind it, but let's try to catch up with it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if any of you heard the NPR investigative report yesterday on the coal, where the folks who own these millions and millions of dollars worth of coal places are not paying their fines, which they can easily do. So, you know, appealing to doing the right thing is another whole thing.
It's crass. Short-term profit.
There was a piece of good news, Joe. I'm sure you're going to be glad to hear it. It's from somebody who heard Hopper's playing of the lovely music that we just heard.
Yeah,
we were just talking about that.
It was good.
Yeah, beautiful piece at 9:13. Beautiful piece and spacious moment leading into heavy issues of the day. Thank goodness for artists in our lives.
Oh,
that's
nice.
And James says, hi, quick question. Is it possible for the young generation to sue the older generation or deniers for a future disruption of our personal health and freedom? Well, you know, it's an interesting question. We bring people who demonstrate man's inhumanity to man before the International Court in The Hague. So which is going to be responsible for more deaths, you know, asthma and the rest of the stuff in this country? I know there's a tongue-in-cheek aspect to this, but it is an interesting question. And Don, our old friend, says, Mr. Boehner has called every Obama initiative for the past 6 years as job-crushing, including raising the federal minimum wage, the Affordable Care Act, immigration reform, and equal pay for women. So
what's new, says Don.
You know? All right, and then
if it wasn't for climate change, his skin wouldn't be so orange.
Well, if it wasn't for climate change or that machine that he has in his office.
And then I got one piece of spam that says, love your body again, eat this, never diet again.
Thank you for sharing that.
And then I guess that's it for now. Do you see anything else?
No.
Okay.
I was thinking about the one letter. I was actually thinking about this the other day after the election. And as always, the midterm election, you have.
That's what we like when you come in here, you think.
I think.
That's good. That's really good.
I'm not in the office anymore, so I have a little bit more time.
Thinking can be very dangerous.
But we're talking about the low turnout, as is always the case. It's been dates back not just the last few cycles, but the young people in particular did not show up at the midterm election. They weren't motivated as they were to vote for Obama, for for example. So to the extent that we're saying we can, the young generation can blame the older generation, well, wait a minute. You had your chance.
Well, only no, but I think that the point here is, Ira, that only when they're choking in their older age do they remember that they had
Well, sure. It's not new. I mean, when you and I were kids, you were already a political junkie long ago, but I know I was not as interested when I was first able to vote as I am now. And so that's not new with young people.
In my generation, it was. It was anti-Vietnam.
Well, there was that. Yes, that was spurred people on, sure.
But it extends further than that, which is, and we've said it a million times here, so as the old prison joke goes, number 38. But
38 is not a funny number. I thought we've gone through that here. 14 is a funny number.
What's that market again? Oh, no, sorry.
Yeah, no.
Oh, market 32.
Yeah, no, not that.
Okay. No. But the people who really do
20
have
seconds.
The most to gain don't get involved politically.
Yeah, well, it's a shame because the young people could sway these elections and put people in who will.
You can almost understand why they don't, though. I mean, it's so depressing to be hearing now we're going over Obamacare again.
Yeah, it's just lazy.
Years after it was passed, and it's in trouble again. It's
time's
depressing.
Up.
You're listening to, you can email us on these issues and others, roundtable@wamc.org. I think we've given you a lot to think about.
Yeah, 11, 14, 13.
22 minutes.
It sounds like you're playing roulette.
38.
WAMC.org. Hello. Welcome back to our roundtable panel.
I forgot we were doing the radio.
It's a palate cleanser, that music, and then we all are ready to go. Good morning, welcome back to our roundtable panel. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Ira Fussfeld, I'm Joe Donahue. We welcome your comments as well. roundtable@wamc.org. You can also post online. That way the whole world can see it, and don't you want that? wamc.org/roundtable. And it's very nice to have you with us. Tanks and other military vehicles pouring over the border from Russia into eastern Ukraine. Nightly artillery battles in the region's biggest city. And reports of fighting around another regional capital. And now sightings of the green men, professional soldiers in green uniforms without insignia. The same type of forces that carried out the invasion of Crimea last spring. A senior NATO official confirmed on Wednesday what Ukrainian military officials and monitors from the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe have been saying for days now. Russian troops and military equipment are crossing the border into Ukraine, seemingly preparing for renewed military action, though what exactly remains unclear. Rosemary.
Well, sinister and expected, I think. I think Putin plays a long game. I said it when we first began talking about the Ukraine that he was taking it over in pieces, and he gauges the reaction from the West, and when he sees an opening, he goes in. I think this is part of that. I don't see any effort by the West to stop it. I pointed out that he was at the Chinese summit. He's going to the one now in Australia. There was talk that he would be frozen out when Crimea happened. That's gone away. And that's just a lack of resolve on the part of the West. We are content to see Ukraine go.
And what would you have us do, Rosemary?
I want us to continue and really hammer down on the sanctions we have. I think NATO needs to increase its resolve. I think I hate to extend the weapons, our weapons trade, but I think we need to reinforce and train Ukrainians.
Okay, well, we're doing a couple of those things, but
we are not strongly enough.
Yeah. Okay. So, but would you? Because the only thing that would really stop this guy is, would you put NATO forces into the mix?
I'm not sure that is the only thing that would stop him. His economy is in deep, deep trouble.
He doesn't seem to care.
That's his stance. I'm sure of that. That is his stance. But he has to care. You cannot run a government and lose the money that his economy is.
I'm going to guess that his hero, as the former KGB colonel that he was, is Stalin. You know, Stalin, when things were really bad, of course, it helped us a great deal in the war. But Stalin, it didn't matter. Moscow could be surrounded. Leningrad could be surrounded. You know, no matter how bad things got, he would say, you turn around, you get shot to his forces. So I think that this guy wants to bring the new Russia back to the old Soviet model. That's what I think. And I think that, you know, if he knows very well that if he goes into one of the NATO countries or recently admitted to NATO, he's going to have a war.
This isn't just the Cold War, the U.S. and Russia, that Europe is involved in this. Also this week, it was significant that I think that the Russians tried to stop an effort to renew sending European forces into Bosnia. You remember since the war there in the 90s, sure. There's been a European presence to keep the warring parties away from each other. He doesn't want to do that anymore because he sees this as a way to move Bosnia in towards the European Union. That's what's really, it's an Eastern-Western divide. And the West, meaning Europe and the United States, the two parts of it, need to be smarter and work harder at this.
Yes, but I'm, you know how much I admire you. But I'm just not seeing any real answers being proposed by you. We have to double down on the sanctions, sure. But what in fact, short of saying no, you take one more step, and as we do, for example, on the demilitarized zone in Korea, you take one more step and you're in a war.
No, I don't see this as an easy solution where you're going to take one step and that'll be the end of it. This is diplomacy. It's the same thing I see with U.S. and China on economics and on climate change. You start with one step and you move step by step by step.
Yeah, and I think I don't disagree with anything that you said. I did think, and I still do think, that the sanctions are going to have an effect.
Yes.
I don't think that it is of major importance to us in the West if he bites away at Ukraine. I mean, I would rather not see it happen, but I don't know that that's our fight so much. The two other things that I see is one, an increasing linkage between Russia and China. They're becoming friendlier. They've had sort of a fractious relationship over the years. I don't know if it'll change now that, you know, he put the cloak on the
right.
on the president's wife. But so there's that. But I also think that not only does Putin, but other people around the world are looking at what is going on in this country politically, and they see an unsettled presidency, and they see an unsettled Congress, and a country that's fighting among itself, and it's not speaking in one voice on international affairs, and I think they view that as weakness.
So, Ira, do you think that if Ronald Reagan were still the president of the United States, they would be more cautious right now?
I think that they would be more cautious if they felt that there was a strong presidency and a united country in matters of foreign affairs. And I don't know that they feel that there's either case right now.
I'm not sure that we've had that a lot. And Wilson had trouble during World War I.
Mm-hmm.
So did Roosevelt. The country was extremely divided then, although he was a more skillful president politically than the one we have now. So I'm not sure that you need a united front. I have to think about that thesis.
I mean, I read another story. I think it was from what I would describe as a moderate publication that just said that the Obama is viewed as a weak president around the world, and that even the Democrats are mindful of that, and that a lot of what had been predicted in the Hillary campaign on who you want at 3 o'clock in the morning has in fact come about. I think a lot of the criticism of Obama is ill placed because I do think he has accomplished quite a bit, but I also think in many respects he's been a disappointment for those of us who thought he had greater skills and would be able to accomplish more, even in the face of the kinds of obstinance that he's getting in Congress.
Well, you know,
I
go back to something that Rosemary just said about admiring Roosevelt, and he was very skillful in terms of setting things up so that, you know, but he couldn't do anything till the Japanese came.
Right.
And there you go.
And a lot of people thought at the time that we had no business going in anywhere and that we were weak. But retrospectively, he looks like a genius. So we don't really know how this is playing out yet or where Obama's going to be seen when it all plays out.
There were many remarkable familiarities if you watch that Roosevelt series and that whole era of the leading up to the war and what is going on in Washington today.
I mean, Obama also has threats in many different directions. That's different than Wilson or Roosevelt. It was a European threat.
Yeah.
I mean, you're now talking China is completely separate from what's happening with the old Soviet Soviet Union and whether that's reconstituting. And then there's the division between the new world, the developed world and the undeveloped world. These are all different problems, and they all need different issues. He really does have.
And
a
you
more
know
complex
what the
situation.
You know what Americans are worried about?
What?
They're worried about Kim Kardashian, and they're worried about the window washers on the scaffolding, and which diverted everybody's attention yesterday.
Yep.
We can get into that if you want, but that was what you saw when you turned on TV yesterday.
Exactly. And those two stories dominated.
And for those who
you're
don't know
right.
what you're talking about, Ira, you're talking about this huge new was the World Trade Center.
World Trade Center. Yeah.
One World Trade Center.
And the window washers. Machine collapsed, and they had to break a window and pull them in, and this was an all-day affair.
From the 69th floor.
69th floor.
Pretty dramatic.
And I think the reason that everybody looks at that and says, wow, I thought my job sucked. Wow.
Well, no, I think the reason that they were kept it on TV was that in a sort of perverse way, they wanted to see if they were going to fall to their deaths. And much like why people watch Carl Wallenda, whatever his name is, walk across on a tightrope or go, you know.
No, the window
yes,
washers
Rosemary?
And Kims in both situations, people love a happy ending.
Oh, well, they're very happy that there
get
was
it?
An
happy
ending, but why
ending.
Would, but why, yes. But,
yeah, you can't get
have,
that? Come on.
You can't have dark unless you have the potential you know, light and
why would you sit and watch that all day? I mean,
well,
you were hoping for the happy ending.
It's like the miners. When we watch the miners right, coming up out of Peru, that we wanted a happy
and
ending.
No, they don't come up.
I don't know.
You
I,
wanted a... Oh,
no,
my God,
I don't,
that's horrible.
No, I don't want it, but I'm going to Ira's point of why you watch it.
Why did you
When you do the high-speed... When they go to the high-speed chase on CNN, you don't think you're waiting for the crash?
Whoa.
Come on.
Well, I guess there has to be the possibility.
So if they have the high speed chase and then they pull them over and they get out of the car and say, and they put their hands up, is that fun? Is that good television?
But, and then beyond everything else, as traumatic an event that was for these two men, and the fact that it was the World Trade Center and all of the memories, et cetera.
Well, absolutely.
Is that
right.
What need that have been reported other than there's this thing going on at the World Trade Center. We'll get back to you when there's more information.
See, I think the media is always put in a hard situation here. Should you not cover it at all? What does it mean that we have to put all that time on it? The reporters covering that event are not the same ones covering climate accords.
The problem with TV, as it always has been, and it's not to blame TV, it's just the concept of TV, is that if they're going to stick with one story and stick with it for a long time and you're not interested in it, you can change it. Channel to something else, but there's nothing else on that.
But Ira, they're sticking with it because they know.
They know people are going to watch
it.
Sure, and the newspapers, no doubt, this morning have dramatic still pictures, and they would have had dramatic still pictures regardless of the outcome. I mean, it's hard to. I mean, the images are tremendous, but to have that.
But no, see, no picture that I've seen in print comes anywhere near of close to because they do the close up because it's when you look at it far away and you just see them dangling moving back and forth.
No, you're right, except that the newspapers were playing catch up this morning. They had the picture of the building and then they had I think it was the bad one, although I suspect they're both bad, and it showed the potential if they had
for those of you listening at home, that would be the New York Daily News versus the New York Post.
And they showed what would have happened if they had fallen?
Yeah, but that's see, that's the print newspapers are always playing catch up, and that's what they have to do to get a different angle on the day after. But the newspapers were also reporting this online with video,
but clearly the four clowns would be down at the bottom with the little thing there to catch them, right?
Well, I watched it, and I didn't watch it long. I mean, I just did because I didn't want to see these guys fall to their death. It doesn't interest me. I'd feel badly, but
you know, I think that's an interesting point. Maybe not to anyone other than me, but I watched that not thinking. Like, that not even being in my mind.
You were certain they were going to survive.
I was certain that they were going to survive, and it was just a matter of time. And I kept on thinking about, oh, my God, I can't believe they do this for a living, and I could never do that.
I want to know how much they made. How much per hour to get paid to do that, to be lowered over the top of that skyscraper?
Subsequent reporting says that this company, which is a nationwide company, has had problems. This is not the first instance.
There's the reporting.
Okay, but how could you not have problems doing that job?
Well, you gotta, you know, they supposedly safe, but not always.
Your windows have to be
all
clean.
All I know is when I watch this, and I know Joe will know what I'm talking about, it's like when David Letterman gets on the air, stares at the camera for a few minutes, plays with his tie, and then says, "I'm the only thing on CBS right now." and that's what I always felt like when I was watching The Scaffolding, the only thing on TV right
well
now.
Said.
Pretty funny.
Well said. All right. What?
I just wanted to respond to something that Roseberry had raised before.
And then we have to take a break.
Very quickly, about Kim Kardashian. Yes. So somebody writes a letter, and they say, Chelsea Handler has a better rear end. Okay.
The comedian
Has this huge disclaimer at the bottom. This is a confidential communication writing to a radio station.
Well, that's all too, yeah.
But you get it, Joe? Don't you see?
It sounds like it came from a law
office. Yeah. Well, it came from a real business.
Don't you see? You say something controversial, send it to the radio where we're reading comments, and at the bottom you have this long thing about how it's
confidential. Read my name on the air.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
You don't get that?
I do. I think, yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay.
They're saying if you are not an intended recipient, then you were hereby notified that you should not know that Chelsea Handler has a better butt than Kim Kardashian.
Oh, my God. The end of Western civilization.
And it says, and it's strictly prohibited if you have received this email in error.
Have you talked about the Chelsea Handler Instagram controversy? Has that come up on this program?
That has not come up
And you don't
program.
Have the time for us to do that right now.
We should
now.
Probably take a break.
Okay.
We're about, we're about 7 minutes late for the break. All right. We'll take a break.
Here once a month. So.
We'll take a break. We'll be back. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York. Protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974. PreserveNYS.org. Mango Tree Imports, announcing their new location in the Saratoga Marketplace, offering fairly traded accessories and home decor from more than 50 countries. MangoTreeImports.com. And Capital Region Honda Dealers, announcing their Happy Honda Days campaign with locations in New York, Vermont, and Massachusetts, offering new and pre-owned Hondas. CapitalRegionHondaDealers.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel.
Diane Keaton's butt, is that what you're talking
about?
No,
there was in the movie with Jack Nicholson where she did a full frontal and she was in her 60s.
Who was that?
Diane Keaton.
Oh, well,
is
remember
this an advance
when,
or not?
Remember when, what was it? What was the movie where Julie Andrews?
Yes. Well, that
SOB,
was,
right?
Yes, that was
Blake,
quite a number of years ago.
Yeah, Blake Edwards, yeah. I mean, Julie Andrews, come on. Sound of Music? Mary Poppins? Come on.
The Hills Were Alive.
Yeah.
I'm tiring of this topic.
You raised
you
that.
Brought it.
I know
you
I
brought
did.
It up.
Oh, boy.
Don't forget
can't
that.
Have it both ways.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
I realize the
were
irony
you at
here.
Fallen?
Yes, I
all
do.
All right. Would you like to get to some letters there, Alan?
Oh, sure. Anything you say.
Okay.
Irene says, Wilson got us into war, a man who is not a man to be admired. Obama has a chance to continue making world connections and should if it helps us and the world at large. You talk about Reagan, who would not even be elected today.
What?
I'm not sure about that, but okay.
Not sure.
Like to see the
I think the polls
that.
Are all
yeah.
showing him number one, right? I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. Mass media got us into war with movies demonizing the Germans in World War I. Okay. And Luca says, you have been sidetracked from serious but boring significant issues. It is not others, but how easily we are distracted. Luca is a constant critic. And then let's see. This has nothing to do with anything, nor does this. Alan, I believe you, the quote you touched on by our mutual friend Arlo is, you can't have light without a dark to put it in. That's correct. And it is exactly where I got it from. Very smart of you, Gary. I love Arlo. Okay, so now somebody sends us a video. Don't send us videos. Don't just, you know, how many words are you allowed? Rich, the city is still recovering, New Orleans, the city is still recovering from Katrina. Now comes disturbing news of police negligence. Crimes not pursued. Bush 43 should be taken to task. Yeah, right.
Climate change.
You know, that's already had one, so it doesn't get another one. Okay. Energy. Thanks for the value of improving coal burning, harum to the voice mocking it because of unpaid fines. Where is the enforcement? Who is worse, the thief or cop who sits in his car and watches?
They Anthony, like what I said, anybody... not what Alan said. I said, how about the value of improving coal burning? But I think that both things go together.
Yeah,
I'm in favor of keeping coal burning under a better environmental system doesn't mean that I'm in favor of companies hurting workers and not paying legitimate fines that they ought to be paying.
Sure. Ruth says, climate change could be the biggest job engine we've seen in decades.
That's true.
That's a very good point.
Yep.
Could you please consider how we need to change the conversation about renewables? At this point, we limit ourselves to responding to the climate deniers. We need to do better, says Ruth.
Good
okay,
letter.
That's good from Monterey. And Tony says, oh, boy. Fracking lowered the oil price below cost to extract Canadian tar sands oil, so there will be no bituminum to transport on Keystone.
That's interesting.
Alan mispronounced the country of Guyana. I wrote
Guinea.
But he miscorrected me, and he said Guyana. Okay, thank you. So sorry. So sorry, Father. not Guyana.
It was also like a week ago.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
all right.
Well, you know, if there's a shot to be taken, take it. Why not?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice people.
It's a quiz. I'm giving that in a quiz in my international reporting class.
And Kay and Charles say the coal companies could take all the money they have spent on their delusional clean coal advertisements to pay their fines. Actually, I don't want them to pay their fines. I want the owners to be put in jail. Are these companies immune to lawsuits from employees? It's disgusting. Okay, and then that's what you do. You see anything else?
Oh, I think that's plenty.
Yeah, that's plenty.
Yeah,
including the mean one.
All right, we have now.
Guinea, just remember Guinea. We'll practice, Alan.
No, I'm going.
You're gonna practice.
I'm not going there.
All right. Final topic. Do you want to talk about the real quick the Supreme Court on redistricting?
Sure.
Very interesting.
We have about a minute.
I predict 5-4 in favor of let them do anything they want.
I was not here when you discussed the proposition in New York State, which is not what the story that you're talking about, but I just feel like the public got snookered about redistricting.
Well, we know
in
they
New
got
York,
snookered. And we know they got snookered.
It's just terrible. You know.
Just real quick, the Supreme Court on Wednesday heard the case with what role race may play in drawing legislative maps. That's what they're hearing.
Well, here's what. Felix Frankfurter, the former Supreme Court member for many years ago, Roosevelt administration, said that reapportionment was the job of the legislature, that the Supreme Court should stay out of the political thicket. It's nonsense. He was wrong. And then they came up and they said, okay, but if it's just specifically for race, then we can have judicial intervention. That's different, they said. Now the question comes down is if you start putting Democrats into compact districts so that they can't win in two districts, you put them in one district, is that racial or is it just party? That was the tenor of the discussion yesterday before the Supreme Court.
We are out of time. I want to thank everybody who took part. Again, roundtable at WAMC.org or WAMC.org/roundtable to post your comment online for all to see. Alan, Rosemary, Ira, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
I predict 5-4.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.